This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But it's 4:05 on DGS. Dave had some stomach problems early, so we kind of sent him home because, look, it's hard.
He knew we were coming.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that it was because of Judge Frawley, but it was kind of, I think he was, you know, he's like, we got to make sure those two don't interact today. But Dave is hopefully resting at home and feeling better, and we'll get him back in here when that stomach thing settles down. But we've proceeded business as usual. I mentioned Judge Frawley, Jeff Rainford, you guys kind enough to join us for the think tank. And I was joking with Rach and Andrew earlier. I'm like, you know, just talking about the things that we could bring up with you guys. I'm like, it's just asking about the Cardinals. But we already covered that off here. Because I said there's nobody in this, I shouldn't say nobody, very few people in this region that don't have an opinion on yesterday and on the direction of that franchise. Because as we talked about, I think Dave made the point yesterday. It was either Dave or maybe Bernie Miklas when he was on with us. But that the Cardinals are so central to St. Louis, like financially, like culturally. Like, there aren't many places where a team holds that big of a place in a big city.
In 2006, I was in the mayor's office. Francis Slay was the mayor, and the economy was not doing great. It wasn't as bad as 08, but it wasn't doing great. And we announced that we were going to have to furlough every employee for 2 weeks. What that really means is you get a two-week unpaid vacation. Now, you can imagine how desperate we are. You don't hear about that in government much. That fall, the Cardinals went on a run and went all the way through and won the World Series and generated so much tax revenue for the city of St. Louis that that run alone allowed us to rescind the furloughs, and nobody got furloughed for a single day. It is a big deal. That's just one example of what a big deal they are for St. Louis. They're a big deal for downtown. They're a big deal for our city. They're part of our identity as a region.
I agree. I think downtown being what it is, unfortunately, it's the Blues and the Cardinals that draw you down. Yeah. And not to disrespect the football team and others, but Cardinals are just, they've been here longer. They're just sort of an institution. It's 1944 World Series. This is 2024. It's 80 years from the streetcar series with the Browns. There's a lot of things this year that could have been and would have been had they been better.
Yeah, and look, not going to diminish the Blues. The Blues are a major factor for the city. But it is still half the number of home games as a baseball season. And it's a smaller stadium. It's 19,150 as opposed to 45,000-50,000 at Busch Stadium. So it's just, it's a numbers game. It's not about the Blues being less important. The Blues are a big deal. And they have a following that's bigger than just the metropolitan area, because when they came here, they were one of the first expansion teams. They have a much bigger following because it was the only team in this region at that time. So they have a huge thing impact too, but just basically double it or a little bit more, and that's baseball.
Yeah, the Cardinals are a tourist attraction, and it's been a while since I looked at it, because it's been a while since I've had to look at it. But they were, as I recall, they and the zoo are our top tourist attractions between Memorial Day and Labor Day. I mean, people from Iowa and Kansas and Arkansas and Oklahoma and Southern Illinois come into downtown St. Louis, stay at hotels, eat at restaurants, and come in for a game or two of the Cardinals. Then they go to the zoo and go up in the Arch. I mean, they certainly are in the top three, with the Arch, the zoo, and the Cardinals are our top three tourist attractions.
Plus, the Cardinals are home for a window of time.
Yeah,
so you can come in from Iowa or Kentucky
for
or Tennessee.
A week, yeah.
Although the Blues schedule this year is interesting. They have more, there's still gaps like a day or two in between, but they're here like
more clusters.
A week. And then, there's clusters. That's
nice.
A good word. But still, it's tough to come in.
It's winter. Kids are in school, right? That's the nice thing about it. The reasons why I think there's a differentiation to draw, it's nothing that's wrong with the Blues. It's just, it's the sport. It's the number of games. It's the fact that you're spending 3.5 months when kids aren't in school and people are taking vacations.
Now, having said that, I was a big part of trying to keep the Rams here And I remember a national reporter said, what's the difference? You know, the Rams attendance, remember, we had those five, they had the five worst teams in the history of the NFL.
I know, I covered them.
The attendance was terrible. And somebody asked me, well, why are the Cardinals so popular and the Rams aren't? I said, well, because the Cardinals win. At the time, the Cardinals were in the midst
and they sustain it.
And they said, of a long, long couple of decades under La Russa and others, you know, so winning does matter. The Cardinals will not be the icon and they have the impact on our region. Listen, every team stumbles. Nobody wins every year. But if they don't get back to being sustainably very, very good, it's going to be a really tough blow for our region.
Remember the 70s. We went from 68 to 82.
Right.
Without anything. Those were a tough number of years. And I'm sure if you go back, the attendance is not going to be what it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, as Jeff says, winning breeds attendance, and you come back the next year figuring you'll see the same thing again.
So we ask this a lot, like, you know, on the show when we're just talking amongst ourselves about how do we draw people to St. Louis? How do we what kind of, because, you know, every city has a thing, right? Nashville's got the country music scene and Memphis has their scene and Indianapolis has a lot of college events and they do a lot of sports and Kansas City. What are the things that we can explore that are, I mean, because baseball's our thing, right? I mean, like we just talked about it. Are there other things to target? Yeah.
So St. Louis, and I know people don't like to look at the past, but I mean, you kind of got to look at the past to be able to sort of see the future. St. Louis used to be a big deal. We were the fourth biggest city for a while. And the people who came before us, the civic leaders and the business people, they built some unbelievable things. We have one of the great art museums mm-hmm. in the world, and a lot of us can walk to it. We have one of the great zoos in the world, and it is free. We've got the Science Center. We've got the Arch. We've got, you know, incredible for America, maybe not by Italian standards or something, but by American standards, we have unbelievable architecture and we've got a great food scene for a city our size. So it's really those amenities that maybe that you and I didn't build, the people who came before us built, but we still have. If you go to Art Hill today and you look at it, there are people today. I was walking dogs with a friend of mine in Forest Park the other day. We went up Post-Dispatch Hill and then up Art Hill, and he said, there is nothing more beautiful than this in Italy. And we still have those amenities that, you know, people in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and in the case of the Arch, the 60s built. And that's what I think is the center of what is attractive to St. Louis. And they are all easy to get to and they're all affordable.
The problem, of course, from my friends and things, is coming downtown is an ordeal. People are hesitant.
Worry about crime. Right. Is that the main thing?
Pretty much. Okay. Pretty much.
Or getting around down here. I mean, I've lived in the Detroit area. I lived in Miami. I've lived in Chicago area. Getting around down here is way easier than any other downtown area I've been around for any period of time. But obviously, we have our different challenges.
Right. I agree with you in terms of getting around. Once you figure out the street pattern, there's really nothing to it.
And parking's cheap relative to other big cities and all that.
They're charging $45, I think, for the parking right next to the ballpark.
Yeah, but that's like $100 at Wrigley Field.
Is it really?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
In any event, coming downtown, people are hesitant, and it's unfortunate because I don't think there's anywhere near the crime problem as there is as advertised in terms of around sporting events. And I think, first of all, you're as a mass of humanity. It's when you stray out and do something like that. But I think it's very safe, and people are hesitant to come down.
So our colleague Chris Ranji says all the time, I think it's really smart, that one of the ways to combat crime is to have more people downtown, right? It's harder to do things when there are more people. But how do you do that? Is that the question? Is that how do we get it back to where businesses want to be here? How do we get it back to where all of those things kind of, you know better than anybody, Jeff, you worked for the city for a long time. It seems like they're all tied together. It's a cycle.
They are. And so This is a little bit of a complicated answer. I'll try to oversimplify it. We can't wait for downtown to come back in order for the region to thrive and for our tourism and visitor and convention business to thrive. And so we've got to take advantage of the assets that we have. As far as bringing downtown back, there will not be a quick answer, right?
Right.
So if you're going to have these giant events, except nobody wants to come to the giant events, so how do you get people to sponsor them? We had, unfortunately, the Barbecue Fest went out of business that was going to be in downtown St. Louis, and part of that was, you know, they couldn't get the sponsors because the sponsors didn't think anybody'd come downtown. So you have to almost rebuild it a block at a time, a day at a time, a week at a time, and it does start with public safety. You at least got to make the areas around the ballpark and around the Scott Trade Center safe so people will come down for those things. And then, you know, maybe then you build, you know, over at Washington Avenue, you have more police presence and you start building that back. But unfortunately, I wish there was a way that, oh, in 6 months, we're going to have a downtown like Austin or something. It doesn't right. work that way. But if you got to start somewhere and it's not a lost cause. And so, you know, like I said, you almost have to build it back a block at a time, a day at a time.
I think one of the problems is Ballpark Village. And I mean, all the amenities you want for food and alcohol, et cetera, and entertainment are in one place. You can park your car, go to a Cardinal game, never have to walk to Washington Avenue, have to walk across 7th Street or whatever. Same thing with the Blues. And so there's no incentive when you come downtown to find out what else is out there.
Well, I think. I'm going to disagree with you there. Okay.
And the other stuff out there, though, might be more for locals than it is for...
You do have to have a reason for people to come to Washington Avenue and other parts of downtown. But I always call it the Las Vegas effect, right? So when Las Vegas started, there were one or two casinos. I'm sure those casinos said, well, if we have any more casinos, they'll take all the business away from us. But at some point, you build enough of them and
you got an oasis in the desert.
You got an oasis in the desert. It's the same thing. I think if you look at it as... well, we can only have Ballpark Village or we can only have the area around the Blues and there's no effort to do anything else. You're correct. That'll be the result. But there are downtowns that have ballparks in them and hockey arenas in them and other things like downtown Denver. And yet there are still many, many other things to do and many, many other amenities.
I agree. It's more for me a chicken and egg issue is if you build all of the other amenities, people have got to want to go. And by having to park somewhere other than in one locale, it feeds that, for me, incentive to go other places. But I agree with you otherwise.
All right, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll broaden the scope. So we're going to go from the local stuff, which we just got into, which impacts all of us, to the vice presidential debate. So you guys can get your prep going for what you think about or what you're expecting tonight from those two candidates. We'll get to that next here in the Think Tank.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, the Think Tank continues here on DGS. Judge Frawley, Jeff Rainferter in, and we're going to expand the scope a little bit. So we talked local just issues, I guess you could say, in the first segment. So let's go bigger. We've got the vice presidential debate coming up tonight. Two things for each of you. You can take it in any order you want. How much do you care about vice presidential opinions, you know, the debate itself, like what they have to say? And what kind of things would you like to hear from them tonight when it comes to various issues? And, for me, the simplest is I would just like them to answer the questions that are asked. I mean, like that would be enough for me for the night to be productive.
I would say a couple of things. I would like respectful behavior. That would be nice if they didn't interrupt one another and also answer the questions. I'm going to be very interested in J.D., primarily because if Trump gets elected, he's 78 or 80 or whatever he is, and therefore there's a higher likelihood that he, meaning Vance, will end up in a position of controlling the electorate and the economy and all the other issues. I'd be interested with respect to Walz is whether he's more than just a football coach. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. But the first speech he gave was electrifying, at the end of which all I wanted to do was Put me in, coach. Okay. And so I'll be curious whether he can talk about substance. But I think I really am interested. One of the things that bothers me most about this whole political scene that right now is the behavior of Trump primarily and Vance primarily, making stuff up. Secondly, denigrating human beings by names and calling them stupid or ignorant or whatever. So I'm looking for those two things.
Yeah, I think I have almost zero interest in it. I think by this time tomorrow, it will already have been forgotten. I mean, you remember, I mean, we all know this. This has been a crazy election season. President Trump's been shot at twice. He's been convicted of felonies. We had the Democratic incumbent who had to drop out because he's senile. And none of that has moved the polls. It's basically a statistical tie. So it's hard to imagine a vice presidential debate doing any good. So I'll just do what most Democrats and Republicans. I hope my guy, the governor, knocks out the other guy, does better the way, same way Kamala Harris did to President Trump. And I'll have about 10 seconds of satisfaction over that. And then, like everybody else, I'm just going to bite my nails until, you know, 11 o'clock on election night, because I think it's going to be, you know, unless something crazy happens, it's going to be close.
I would agree. I think it'll be entertaining, perhaps. I don't know that it's going to be of any substance going forward. I mean, how many vice presidential debates do we have any recollection
of? Can you name the great ones?
Yeah. Well, I do remember when Lloyd Benson had the famous line about Jack Kennedy.
So you are no while, Jack but, Kennedy. Yeah.
I mean, the thing about Vance is if Vance wins this debate, there is no way that Donald Trump is going to allow him to eclipse him when it comes to adulation and attention. So Vance is kind of in a, you know, he wins and then he's got to go back into his hole because otherwise President Trump's going to lose his mind over it. Yeah. So now it's I won't even watch it. I'll read about it a lot tomorrow. I'll read conservative reports of it and liberal reports of it. I will get, like I said, 10 seconds of joy if everybody, like they did with the presidential debate, declares Governor Walz the winner. But other than that, it's not gonna have any effect.
Curious what you guys think about this. This is, I'm gonna say, this is basically where I am on all of the debates, vice presidential and presidential. But I read it from someone way smarter than me who is basically making the point that none of this is actually a real debate. It's a television show. These things are entirely about getting TV ratings because the structure isn't about policy, about who will answer a question when it's asked. It is basically just two sides flinging things at each other and going off track and going on tangents. It's much more of a television show akin to the Super Bowl than it is an actual exchange of ideas.
Well, it's an exchange of speeches and monologues, right? It's like, okay, it's my turn to speak and I'll make a 3-minute speech and then it's his turn to speak. And now they may criticize each other, but you don't have things like I can ask you a question. Or you can ask me a question. Now, I understand how you feel about interrupting, and nobody wants to watch them talking over each other and that sort of thing. But, you know, a real knockdown, drag-out debate would almost be like you put them upstage with them for an hour, and you have one moderator, and he's like, okay, get ready, set, go. And then for the next hour, whatever happens, happens.
Well, and I agree.
It's just speeches.
If that's the format we've started with.
Yeah.
And then I would agree.
Well, the candidates, one of them is not going to want that, right? So they're behind the scenes, there are all kinds of negotiations over that. And whoever is good at more of a free style is going to want that. And whoever's bad at it, it's going to be, I don't want that. And therefore, I'm not going to debate. So the other one has to accept, as you said, these, you know, sort of sterile formats, which
it would be extraordinarily
dull.
If they would actually answer the question that is asked. I don't think Trump answered one question. He said the same thing.
He just changed the
order of the sentences. And Kamala came up a little better at answering the questions. But they didn't answer questions. That the format they've elected, they should obey it.
Well, that half hour went fast. Thank you, guys. That was great. Appreciate
My
you
pleasure.
Guys.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.